Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, and welcome to the Way Up North podcast. This podcast series is about getting to know the presenters of Way Up North in Rome this coming April 2017. And my name is Jenny Hammer. What you're about to hear is a chat I had with Caroline Lee, originally from Milwaukee and currently living in Los Angeles. This go-getter has so many interesting things going on, different business ideas, everything from importing Moroccan rugs to pro bono work all over the world. And I just hope some of it rubbed off on me. It definitely feels like it did. So anyways, this is my conversation with Caroline of Woodnote Photography. Okay, good. I can see you. Can you see me?
Yes.
I love how I call right back and it rings like 20 times. I was like, wait, what happened in the 2 seconds? I'm just teasing.
Oh, fine. Anyway, hi. Good to meet you.
Are
you?
Good to meet you.
So, you just turned 40?
How did you know? Oh, I wrote you. Yeah. That's why I was. I was like, just, what? The word's out?
Like, no.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. So now it's like almost a week ago. Yeah.
Oh. Was it fun?
It was fun. It was really fun. I actually worked on my birthday the whole day. Like I shot kind of a boring thing, but then my husband surprised me afterwards. We went out to dinner and some of my friends were there. It was like a surprise, you know, dinner out.
Aww, that's awesome.
So that was nice.
So what's the connection with you and Europe?
Well, I'm from here. I'm from Sweden and I'm in Sweden now. So I live here and then but I grew up in the States. So I lived like 15, 16 years in the Chicago area.
Oh
yeah.
I grew up in Milwaukee. So
you did?
Yeah.
You're a Midwest girl.
I am.
Milwaukee.
Yep.
Milwaukee. That's like beer. I think of beer.
Yep. Beer. Yep. Germans.
Germans, yeah.
Yeah. So,
because now you're in LA, right? What brought you to LA? Was it like acting dreams?
Well, I married an Australian and we lived in Melbourne for over 2 years when we first got together. And then we moved to Wisconsin for a little while to go be near my siblings because they were really young. And so we went back to the Midwest to be near them while they sort of finished high school and grew up. And then after that, there was nothing, like, we didn't like the Midwest enough to be there.
Okay.
Like as our life. So, so then it was sort of like where to next, and LA is great weather all the time. It's like a good middle spot. It was weird as that sounds, like to be in between our families. So,
no, that
you know,
makes sense.
We're like one flight away from LA and one flight away from Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And there's like enough distance that we don't have to, we're not like, we love our families, but like, I think distance makes them better. If
cooler,
we were around the
nicer,
time, yeah,
yeah.
If we were around all the time, it would be like not as cool. So, you know, it's good to kind of get to do, like, to see them when we want to see them.
Yeah, that's good to, like, be deliberate.
Yeah.
No surprises. That brought about a lot of questions. Your siblings are a lot younger than you. Does that mean that they're, like, from a different constellation? Or is it the same parents, everything?
I'm the oldest of six, so...
Oh my God.
It's not that they're that Yeah, there. It's just that there's a big gap. Like my youngest sister is like 13 years younger than I am, just because.
Wow.
My parents had a lot of kids, so there was just you know, there was about 2 to 3 years in between all of us, and so.
And where did you say you were in the birth order there?
I'm the oldest.
You're the oldest of six. Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. So sort of coming back was like, it was something that my husband and I wanted to do because we felt like we weren't really a part of, my siblings' lives. Like when we got married, my little sister, gosh, I don't even know how old she was. She would have been like six. And so, and I moved to Australia. And so the more that time went on, the more we were sort of like, you know, they aren't going to even remember us as time goes on. They're going to be like, oh yeah, those people that we used to know that sort of moved away when we were young. And so we moved back and sort of were like, let's be a part of their lives. And we're really glad because Jaden's the youngest. So his brothers were already grown up and his brothers already sort of had, they were already married and having kids. So it was less of a, like they didn't, you know, obviously they love us when we're around, but they're not just sitting around wondering about us all the time.
Like your little siblings are probably like, when you come, they're probably like, oh my God.
Yeah, totally. Totally. So, and now we're really close with my siblings, and actually two of them live in LA.
Oh, wow.
We collaborate with them all the time because they do like video work. So we get to do different projects where like we're directing and producing and they're shooting, and that's all really, really fun. So it was definitely like a sacrifice in some ways to move back to the Midwest, especially going from Melbourne, which is like this amazing, big, huge metropolitan art city. Yeah. And then to like Milwaukee, which is amazing, but it's not quite like the center of the world in everything creative that's happening. So it was a good stretch for us. And it was also really good for us in terms of our business to get really intentional and get really focused. And I think if you can shoot a wedding in the dead of winter in Wisconsin, when everything is like brown and trees are dead and the light is terrible, if you can do that, then you can do anything.
Best school ever.
Yeah.
If really you make it there, you'll make it.
Exactly. Exactly. So anyway. Now it's almost like anything after that now is like easier.
And now you have like sun. I mean, because let's face it, Wisconsin and Sweden are very comparable. I mean, I'm literally living in that brown mess you're talking about right now. February, Sweden, it's just horrible.
Yeah.
So what does an Australian think of Milwaukee? And like, what was that like bringing, like, I mean, I'm sure there's foreigners there, but I mean, still, it must have been kind of exotic.
Very exotic. By the way, are we recording? I'm not sure. Like, do I need to be doing anything?
No, you're perfect. I just, it's like a recorder that just records our voices. So no video, but it does help to see you because I feel like.
Yeah. Do you need it? Can you hear my voice okay? Or do I need to put like a mic?
I hear you fine. Yeah. I had this on because my microphone wasn't working. I discovered after doing 7 of these podcasts.
Sorry to say that. I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't like missing something. No. So for Jaden, moving from Australia to Milwaukee, Milwaukee is definitely a city that doesn't have as many, it's not as diverse. It's not like LA where there's just different foreigner, like every race, every country is represented everywhere you go. And it's less of a novelty whereas in Milwaukee, I mean, we could be going out to get a burger and like 5 people would be like, where are you from? Like when he would talk, you know what I mean?
So, oh my God. I love your accent. Wow.
Seriously. And everyone always thinks England, like everyone's always like, are you from England? And like literally it would just be everywhere we go. And like, that's cute at first. And for like the first, you know, month that we lived there, it was really sweet that people cared. And, you know, that was so great. And then when you've been there for like 3 years, I think he started to feel a little bit just like no one saw him as fitting in. like Jaden's a very relational person who loves to create belonging and belong, and he wants to like be known. And so to kind of be in his own city where he's like, this is my city, like this is my home. And yet everyone always being like, where are you from? You're not from around here, are you?
You're not from these parts. Or, oh my God. Yeah. I can just imagine him being like, okay, no one's asked me for like 2 hours where I'm from. I'm starting to kind of, and then it's like, oh my God, I love the way you talk.
Totally.
Yeah. Growing up in the Midwest.
Really? You know it. Yeah, you don't really have a strong accent.
No, I mean, I didn't have an accent, but I can just imagine that people are so friendly and they mean well, but you're just like, you know, shut it.
Yeah. Yeah, they totally mean well, and they're so,
don't say it.
Like, no. I have him in my phone as a different name because one day we were out and he met a girl and the girl couldn't quite understand his accent, which I think is hilarious because it's only Australian. It's not that crazy. But she said, what's your name? And he said, Jaden, but with his accent, it sounds more like Jaden. And she said, Gina? And he was like, yeah, as in vagina. That's my name. And I laughed so hard. And so I always will call him Va or like Gina because
of course. I mean, why? That's just perfect.
It's like not, he's gotten Dragon. He's gotten Chiden. A lot of people think he's saying his name is Chiden. It's great.
Chiden, Gina. Yeah. Just Gina is just, there's only one thing you think of when you hear that.
I know.
From now on, when I think of that, I'll think of your Jaden, which my is Jaden, really awkward.
When you meet him, you can be like, oh, you're, oh, Gina, nice to meet you.
That is so funny. Oh, my God. I cannot do an Australian accent, and I bet everybody tries to do it, too. Like, it's let me, you know, do my shrimp on the babby, all that stuff. But it's like the one... Well, no, it's not. It's one of 100 that I can't do, but nonetheless, it's so hard. I mean, do you find yourself slipping into it? I mean, being around him?
No, I know a lot of people who fake accents and it's like they think it's funny or something, but it's not. It's kind of annoying. So I've always been very careful about never picking up on certain things or like accidentally slipping into it. I think when I lived in Australia, I think my accent softened a little bit, like my own American Wisconsin accent softened, which I was totally okay with because I didn't really actually want to be, I don't really like it when people say they can tell where I'm from with my accent.
Yeah.
So I think my accent softened a little bit, but it definitely, I've never started talking like an Australian. When I'm in Australia for more than a day, I can do the accent pretty perfectly. But the other thing is Australian girls talk in a totally different range.
High-pitched?
Yeah. And like very sing-songy, like lots and lots of melody in their voice. And so for me, my voice doesn't actually sound very Australian because I talk so low and because I'm not quite so chirpy in my intonation, which is weird, but it's true.
You do sound more, I mean, like, I remember when we lived in the States, everybody thought we spoke so low because, I mean, here we think Americans speak very like nasally and high pitched, the women, like what you're saying, and maybe Australians are like the next level of high pitched, like sing-songy.
They totally are. Yep, they totally are. And the girls especially. And sometimes it's cute. And sometimes, you know, when you've just had a long day and you just don't really feel like, you're just like, no, too much. Cut the flowers. Just give me the words. Just text me.
I love that. I give my husband a hard time because his ex-girlfriend spoke with like a really high-pitched voice. And like, I'll never forget. I had never met her, obviously, because she wouldn't be alive. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I happened to hear her leaving a voice message on his like good old fashioned answering machine way back in the day. And I was like, are you kidding me? And he was like, I know, I know. Like, it's,
oh. Oh my gosh. It's like, Janice from Friends. Did you ever watch?
Yes.
Did you ever watch
Janice.
Friends?
Oh, like, Chandler.
Oh, it's bad. It's so bad. And I'm really into sound. I think I'm really sensitive to it, and I hear sounds really, really, like, even if they're super far away, or like if I'm in a loud restaurant, I'll be like, do you hear that? It's our song. And like, you know, Jaden will be like, how are, I don't hear a song, we're in a loud restaurant. So
you
really
like have this Matrix kind of mind. Are you, do you get annoyed by people chewing loudly, for example?
Oh my gosh.
Okay, you're one of those. Yeah.
I cannot function. Like, Jaden puts on music when we have meals together because he knows that if there's just two of us sitting in a room eating, like, I will just be like, I need to go. I need to leave. I can't just sit here listening to you chew. Oh my gosh.
Like, do you have to chew in that loudly or that? I'm the same way. I actually can't stand chewing sounds either.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah. Well, it's apparently, did you know it's like an actual condition?
I did hear that. I think one of my sons has it because he's 7 and he cannot sit next to his brother and eat. He's every meal. He's like, I'm going to go sit over there. I cannot hear your, I can't listen to your smacking of your food. And I'm like, no, that's quite early to be doing that unless he probably has it.
No, it's not early. I think it's a thing. And for me, I remember it when I was a kid because my mom swallowed her coffee every morning really loud. And I remember as a kid being like, oh, gross. Like, that is so gross. And I was only a kid and she was only minding her own business swallowing her coffee. But it made me so
mad. You were like, please. It's so offensive.
It made me so mad. It made me mad. And I have a brother who also has the same memory. He'll be like, we'll talk about mom's loud coffee swallowing. So I think he has it too.
But I do, I just, let's not be too quick to give your mom the pass. Some people really do swallow like, like obnoxiously loud. It's like they're also swallowing, I don't know. My sister does it when she drinks her tea. She swallows so loud. And I think she does it to annoy me, but maybe, I don't know. Maybe that's a condition.
Oh, totally. Like trying
loud swallowing.
I also have a friend who eats and she chews and talks with her mouth full.
Oh, that's annoying.
And I really love her and I haven't actually said anything to her about it because I don't eat with her that often. So it's like one of those things that I just think every time it happens, I'm like, okay, it's fine. We can focus on something else for this minute. But
you should just recommend this podcast to her.
And then just
be like, never speak of it again. And just, it'll, I promise you, it's going to just, it'll just.
Well, and she's like disappear. A mother. So I'm like, you are going to teach your kids that it's okay to chew with your mouth full and talk with your mouth full. You're
going
to teach them that. And that is so gross.
Inevitably, old people start to do it. I've noticed that if you're like over 85, I swear everyone I know that's really old does it. They tuck some, so gross. They tuck some food like in their cheek because they want to talk, but they're like too slow to actually just chew and swallow it. So they're like, I'm just going to tuck it right here and then talk. And you're just like, oh. But yeah, there's no excuse for under 85.
Yeah. My dad does that, and my siblings, when he does that, because he does the tuck and chew, my siblings will be like, dad, chew.
We'll wait.
They just like won't let him talk. They just interrupt him.
I'm just relieved that it's not just me. I mean, I like really, my best friend growing up, she herself said, she's like, well, I have something called tongue thrust. I don't know. Yeah, which apparently makes swallowing very loud or whatever. But it used to, annoy me too. But then she just pulled that out.
Tongue thrust?
Yeah, I know. Don't.
Sounds like something that some people wish they had.
Yeah, it sounds a lot more cool and exciting than but it was.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to research this one.
Yeah. Tongue thrust. Yeah. Not good. Anyways. Yeah. People can be so annoying. That's for sure.
Man, can't live with them. Can't live without them.
That's for sure. But how did you meet this Australian Gina?
Gina. I met Gina in Wisconsin, actually. We were both musicians before we were photographers, and we actually still play music, but we met in Wisconsin in 2003. Okay. And you're right over there. He was falling apart. Fine. So he was touring with a band from Australia. And I was playing my violin at the same place that he was playing. And we met backstage and just sort of chatted. And he told me that he was staying at a really crummy hotel in the area. And I was like, oh, that's rough. And he said he didn't have a rental car. And I was like, what are you doing for food? And he said, well, I've been walking to Applebee's because that's the only thing that I can eat. And I was like, okay. This is like your one chance to get a good vibe of what America is, because, you know, he was like young, early 20s, had never been to America before. And I was like, okay, we got to do some cool stuff together, because I can't have you being here and have that kind of experience. Like, you can't go back to Australia and say, you know, the barbecue sauce at Applebee's is pretty great. That's not what you're going to go.
That's horrible. You like took it on yourself. Like, this is my responsibility now. I got this.
Yeah. And so I was like, all right, come over. First of all, I said, come over to my family's house. I don't know why I said that, but I did. It's not like I commonly brought random boys home, but I did.
How old were you at this point?
17.
Oh,
I know. I was a freshman in college. And so I brought him home, and I was actually dating someone else at the time, so I wasn't even thinking of it as like this is a thing. It was more like, hey, I'm being nice to this boy. That's all. And so I brought him home. My mom cooked a dinner for him. He met my family without there being any sort of, you know, this is the future in-laws. He literally was just meeting them because I met him at a venue. And then we went to Chicago for a day together. Kind of just like did a bunch of cool stuff. And then by the time he left, like 3 weeks later, we had hung out a bunch. And so it was just like, wow, this person's really rad. I like who they are. We talk for hours and we talk about everything and we have so much in common. And so we just really hit it off and stayed really good friends. And at first I didn't know if I would ever hear from him again, because in 2003, that was like pre social media. There wasn't Facebook. There right. wasn't, there wasn't Instagram. There not like no Facebook, no nothing. And so we literally had to like email each other. That was the only way we were going to talk. Cause otherwise it was like $1 a minute to call each other. And so I thought, it was ridiculous, but I thought, as I said bye to him, man, this could be the last time I ever see this kid. That's really sad. He's awesome.
But was the boyfriend still around at this point, or during the 3 weeks that he sort of disintegrated?
Yeah. During the 3 weeks, we both sort of were like, it wasn't like a long-term boyfriend. It was just like, we were dating, and it was because we had a lot of the same mutual friends. And our friends had sort of said, like, it's really weird that you guys are both single, and every time we hang out, you're the only ones that aren't with people, so you should probably date. And we were like, all right. Mm. And so we were having a little bit of fun with it, but it wasn't like a love connection.
Yeah.
It was more like, you know, we would like make out for hours and then be like, okay, bye. There wasn't anything fun. Like, I remember, actually, this is so funny. I remember one time I went to go meet his parents, and I went to his house, and we were sitting on the couch together and talking to his parents. And I remember he literally said to his mom, yeah, we're not going to end up together or anything like that, because Caroline's like really adventurous. Like, she's probably going to marry a foreigner and like travel around the world. And that is not me. And I was like, yeah, that's probably true. But it was really funny, because it was funny, that was before I had met Jaden. And yet he like put it, you know, like put it in the space that I was probably going to be the type that would marry a foreigner. And
he pegged you. So you were both like totally in it for just the makeout sessions and that's it.
Pretty much. So then when a couple weeks into Jaden being here or being in Wisconsin, I remember it was really funny. He said that he was like, "Hey, I want to hang out with my ex. Is that okay?" And I was like, "Yeah, I don't care. I don't care at all." And then he was like, "I mean, maybe we should just like, you know, have fun with other people and do other stuff." And I was like, "Yeah, great." And then it was weird. That was it. And it wasn't a bad breakup, and it wasn't, you know, I think our friends were more bummed than we were. So that happened during the 3 weeks with Jaden. And then when he left, I was like, "Oh man, this is going to be so sad that this is the one time in my life I got to hang out with this kid." But then over the next 9 months, we emailed so much, and then he invited me to visit him in Australia. And so then that was when things started to get a little steamier.
So wait, no kissing before he left?
Nothing. Cause we were still just friends. And so it was very, I didn't want to like, you know, rush anything. And he didn't either. Cause I think we're both really intense personalities. And so I think we're both very practical and logical, and we're not like spontaneous, get caught up in the moment and do ridiculous things and then regret them the next day. We're like, okay, I'm about to make this choice. Is this a good choice? What will I think of this choice in a week and a month and a year? And so I think both of us were like, okay, getting into a relationship with someone from the other side of the world is mega.
Yeah.
It's like really mega. And so I think we both were like, we're not going to just jump into this because we're having fun together. And sometimes we say our only regret is that we didn't just like hook up the day we met and just run with it, because we were being so careful and cautious. And now I'm like, oh, we should have just done it.
But that's easy to say, you know, in hindsight. I mean, there's a lot of things like that, obviously, that we probably all like, why didn't I, like, who cares? That should have just happened, or I should have just done this and this. But yeah, like you said, sometimes there's a lot of those. I mean, where I wish it would have been more like, I was about to say naughty, but that in English, that's not the right translation.
Oh dear.
I'll be like, that's not what I meant at all. I'd be like, cut that out. No, but I think that's easy to say. But the important thing is you ended up together, and here you are. So you guys have been together for like how many years? How old are you?
I'm 31. We've been together for 13 years because we got together when I was 18.
18. So. Oh my God.
I know.
Baby. So then what happened? Long distance relationship through college or?
No, we did long distance for like almost 2 years. Then we got married, and I sort of deferred from my studies and moved to Melbourne. We were there for a couple years where I was just working and he was touring. And then that's kind of when we started doing more photography stuff, because we were both photographers, as like hobbyists, and we both loved shooting. And that was like something that we both had done before we met each other, but it was like, you know, we would shoot film and we would do it as more of a fine art kind of thing. Like, he did a lot of photography in his high school, and I did a lot of it just like with my own sort of traveling and siblings and stuff. And so then it was when I lived in Australia that we started doing more photography. Like, when we got married, we bought digital camera gear. That was like our present to each other, which was kind of cool. Yeah, so that was our big thing when we got married, was switching to digital, which was, you know, very controversial. And so that was in 2005, and we started shooting digital, and I started like a sort of a personal blog so that our friends and family could keep up with where we were, because we were always somewhere weird. And then it was through that people started asking if they could hire us to shoot this and that and different events and family things. And at first we were like, that's kind of weird. This is just our hobby, like this isn't our real job, but we started saying yes and playing around with it, and then it really just grew and grew so quickly, to the point where we went from being kind of like side job photographers to it really taking up like 40 hours a week of our time. And then when it started taking up more than 40 hours a week, we realized that we needed to get rid of our other jobs because we couldn't juggle, you know, three jobs and be doing a good job with our clients. So then we jumped in and went full time. And I think that was like 6 or 7 years ago. So it's been a really long time now that we've been doing it, and it continues to evolve. Like now that we're in LA, we do a lot more commercial stuff, and we do a lot of kind of events, because with Instagram, we get invited to a lot of things that are more, I mean, the word influencer gets used. I don't know. I don't really like that word, but let's use it because that's what I don't know, people like to say. But we go to a lot of things.
What do you mean by that? What does that mean? I don't.
Specifically, I think it's a culture for sure. But in LA specifically, there are so many people who have large followings, and so they get invited to a lot of specific brand events. So if a space is opening, these certain people will get invited. If a product is getting launched, these certain people will get invited. It's kind of like newer wave marketing, mm-hmm. where rather than having ads on television or in a magazine or in a newspaper, it's more like if we can get the people that have large followings to talk about our product in an organic way that matches with their voice, mm-hmm. That's going to be really powerful marketing.
So you would get invited, or you would get like hired to shoot something like that?
Yeah. At first we would get hired to shoot those, a lot of those in LA, and now we more get invited as actual influencers, but we're obviously still shooting them as well for our own, for our own portfolio and Instagram and stuff. But it's really amazing how that has evolved so quickly, and that has really become such a huge part of life in LA. It's very strange. It's a weird bubble here. Like I can't think of another city except maybe New York that has, you know, events 3 times a week where you're going because of something like that. It's pretty weird. And yet it's really fun. And because we're self-employed, it's also a way to kind of like see colleagues. Because when you're self-employed, obviously you're just like sitting at your desk all the time or on set shooting. And so getting to go to an event and see all your friends all the time is kind of fun.
Well, and plus, if you're working weekends all the time too, it's like you have to make the best of the weekdays and like go out. I mean, that's awesome. I remember that from New York too. Like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, people are like out partying. It's so awesome.
I know. It's so much. And I've had to, this year I've started being more intentional about even like when I go out, am I going to drink? Or when I go out, like how late am I going to stay out? Because I mean, I find that I do my best when I get a really good night's sleep and I get up early in the morning and work out. And those are things that it's impossible to do if you are out drinking every single night.
You're like, I've tried it. Believe me. It just, and you know what? It's really hard.
It's hard. And it's, I mean, maybe in your 20s you can do it, but you hit a point where you're like, all right, it's not as fun anymore.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. And it sounds like you're kind of like, you're part rock and roll, part like, okay, you like structure and a little bit of a like certainty, not addict, I don't know about that, but that you like to know kind of what's going on. Do you hate surprises?
I mean, it's funny because I hate surprises in terms of like, if I don't get to plan ahead and something just gets thrown at me as a curveball, I don't love it. And yet, like I would call myself in terms of personalities, I have more of a controlling personality, not like a toxic controller, but more like I'm going to have a plan and I'm going to know what I'm doing going into something. And I think that's, that can be a bad thing, but if you do it in a way that is intentional and mindful, then it's not going to be like you're not going around controlling people like a notorious mother-in-law or something like that. It's more like it's more just like good planning and going into something, knowing what you're, why you're doing it. Yeah. So I like doing that, but I think, the other thing is that being the creative kind of world that we are, there are so many curveballs that get thrown our way, and so many of the businesses that we've started are so not controllable. Like, you know, we do things with importing from Morocco, and we have an event space in LA, and both of those things mean there's just not, you can't control. Like, there's just an element where, I can only be happy if I let go a little bit and kind of handle the curveballs as they get thrown my way. Because it's just, if I was like a control freak, then every single time something goes wrong, I would be a mess for days.
Right.
Whereas I have to be, Jaden and I often just say, okay, and shift. And like, we literally snap and like move our heads to the side, and we're like, all right, this is not looking the way we thought it was going to, but what are we going to do about it? Like, being mad about it isn't going to actually, you know, fix anything. So shifting and just being like committed to working through whatever happens is a great way to not lose my head.
What are you importing from Morocco? This is like interesting. You're just like, by the way, I have an event space and I own board things from Morocco. What, so is photography, I mean, so you guys are like not just creatives, you're kind of like have an entrepreneurial vein. Do you say that in English?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we say artery.
Artery.
No, I'm just kidding. No. I'm just kidding. We say vein. I just wanted to mess with you. We definitely are like serial business starters and entrepreneurs, I guess, is a weird word because it makes it sound like something really cool. But it's not necessarily, I don't know, I guess,
like,
I guess
it's an addiction.
It's an addiction. Yep. Totally. And I think it's fun because my personality is to get a little bit, I don't want to say bored, but kind of bored, where I'm like, okay, I mastered that, you know, mm-hmm. Not like I'm bored of it and I don't like it anymore, but like, I want a new challenge.
Yeah.
And I love new challenges and I love things that are going to, you know, bring new people into my life or whatever
so,
it is.
So
I love.
Explain the Morocco thing. Like, for example,
Example, we import vintage rugs from Morocco, which is something that we've been doing for like a little over 2 years, and it's grown into a pretty big side business. excuse me. So it's called Coco Carpets, and we basically like Coco, like Morocco. And so we source the, there's different tribes in the Atlas Mountains. They're Berber tribes, and they make these incredible rugs that all have different patterns and colors, and they're all very specific to their tribe. And
wow.
I did a lot of research on those before we went over to Morocco for the first time. And it was sort of like an addiction because of my own personal wanting some for my house. And then it kind of grew into this thing where it was like, well, other people want them too, and maybe we can just see what happens. And so it's been really fun and like a whole new set of challenges, but also a whole new set of people that we've gotten to connect with because of it. I mean, like they're not cheap. So the people who buy expensive vintage rugs are usually really interesting. So I always Google who buys them, and they're always really interesting people. Like one of them is like Miley Cyrus's ghostwriter. And like the Game of Thrones producer bought two, you know, so it's always like, if someone's going to drop like $6,000 on a couple rugs in a few hours, like you're always like, okay, who is this person?
Yeah.
So I love Googling that and being like, oh wow, fun. Should I write a note in here and be like, I don't really like your TV show, or should I write like, I respect your work. Love, Caroline.
Love you. And I love you. And then stand outside their window like, How's that rug working out?
I know where you live. I know where you live. So that's really fun. And that's something that like brings new challenges. And Jaden and I do that together in a lot of ways. And so we both have super different strengths, which is also really fun. Getting to work with someone who sometimes drives me insane, but really when I'm being mature, I get to remember that he's actually just has totally different strengths than I do. So if I'm annoyed at him, it's actually just my own fault because I'm being mad at him for not being me. Instead of appreciating that what he brings to the table is stuff that we couldn't do. Like we couldn't do what we do if it was just me, you know?
But what kind of stuff, in what way would you say that you're really different?
I'm like the big doer. Like if there's a weird idea, he's like an ideas idealist. He's a dreamer. He's someone who, you know, if you put him in a room with a piece of paper, he could draw anything. He could write anything. He still composes music for a lot of the videos that we do. So he creates, he's like a generator of ideas. But he is not the doer. Like he doesn't actually make it happen. He just churns out ideas all the time. And he's a really big supporter. So if I have an idea, he'll be like, yeah, let's do it. He's not going to be like the one who does it, but he's also going to be totally supportive. If I'm like, okay, we're doing this. I need you to handle this, this, and this to make it happen. He'll do that.
He'll be like, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. He's very, very supportive. And so, you know, sometimes that means like carrying hundreds of pounds of rugs or photographing them with me, or sometimes it means, you know, anything, like whatever it means, he's very much a part of everything we do. And he does a lot of the relational stuff, with our businesses, because I'm like the mover, a header type person.
You're like already way ahead. You're like, I'm somewhere else. Okay. So he's behind you, like cleaning up all your ideas that are like,
hopefully he's next to me. Hopefully I didn't leave him behind anywhere, because then that I used to do that, I think, more than I do now. But I think now it's more about him being the connector. Whereas I just like to get like, let's get down to business. Let's, you know, I'm very German, and I like to just, you know, cut to the chase, get down to it. And I don't really take things personally. If someone's like, we don't want to work with you, I'm like, cool, next, you know. Whereas he wants to like sit down, he wants to talk, he wants to, you know, get to know them. He wants them to feel, he doesn't want them to feel, he just makes people feel very, seen. He's someone who always has tons of time to listen, but he also is very insightful with kind of, I don't want to say advice, but he's a really good sort of coach. Like, I think he should be a life coach, because he can sit and listen to anyone and then have this like idea of how they could handle one of their problems in a way that they've never thought of before. But it's just very insightful and kind of is always bringing people together. So he's very, like, especially with our bride and grooms, and especially on wedding days, he's someone who, like, for example, he will remember everyone's name. Like, he will meet all the groomsmen and like the parents of the bride and groom, and all day he'll just be going like, James, come on over here. And like, David, can you move to the right? And I'm like, oh my gosh, how do you remember all these people's names? You met them for like 2 seconds. And I'm the one going, okay, I don't know any of the bridesmaids' names, and it's the end of the day and I've been with them all day and I still don't know. So he's very relational, and he's very good at doing the connecting, which I value a lot and see as very important. So
that's so impressive. I mean, some people just have a gift when it comes to that kind of stuff, and it's cool to have people like that around you, especially married too.
Yeah, for sure. And at first it was hard to work together, because we were just used to being married, and it was so weird being around each other all the time and having to kind of divvy our work responsibilities. But once we figured it out, now it's actually easier to work together than it is to be married.
Funny. Go figure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Being married is not that easy, though. I mean, especially, okay, so you guys, you said now you've been married like 10 years?
Almost 12.
Almost 12. So, yeah, so you're coming up on one of those, probably, I don't even know. But there's, you know, everything is cyclical in life. And, yeah, I mean, like I said, I do know. I was about to say I wouldn't know, but I do know what it's like. But
have you been married?
I'm married, yes, to the same guy. My God, this is the worst angle ever. Okay. I can't look at myself in this thing. I'm sorry. I have a great husband. He's great. We've been married for 10 years.
Well,
we
done.
Just celebrated 10 years, and I'm like, what? How long?
You know, it's not easy, like you said.
It's both, because you like kind of, you know, you get more and more hopefully connected and like kind of, you know, you understand each other. You don't even have to talk to just like know what the other person's thinking. And then on the other hand, and we have, you know, small kids, which makes it impossible for us to actually talk. That's how we've developed that skill, because they don't let us have a conversation. So that's...
How many kids you have?
3.
Oh.
And they talk constantly. So. They want attention all the time. But it is kind of cool. And I admire people that work together like that, because I just think like, wow, I don't know if I could do that. I don't think I could. But I noticed that a lot of the people that I've spoken to now are actually like, they've teamed up. So it's becoming quite common. I mean, I don't know what your experience is. If you, a lot of husband and wife teams and, or whatever, husband, wife.
A lot of husband and wife teams, and it's definitely a trend that I'm seeing a lot of. I'm also seeing a lot of husband and wives that are business partners break up, and that also brings a whole new wave of complications to business and life, because suddenly they have to separate their portfolios and you know, recreate everything. So that's been also a really, really big trend, that both in husband and wives working together and also not working together.
Also, because then what do? That you have to split everything up, obviously. You can't.
Yeah.
Probably don't continue working together and then just break up on the, Anyways, well, let's not talk about breaking up. I'm just kidding. I think it's like I said, like it's interesting. I spoke to Andy about that, Andy Gaines, and he has his wife, brought on his wife like to do basically studio manager kind of stuff, which I thought was cool. Yeah. So what do you guys, when you have like your meetings then, do you guys do like, okay, what's our 10-year plan? Do you guys do that kind of stuff?
With each other?
Yeah.
Oh my. No, it's more, we don't really talk about things that are going on already, because things that are already going on are kind of just like already a machine. And so when we talk and when we have meetings, it's usually like, what new thing should we start?
What new business can we start? What domain can I,
literally, like website? It's bad. It's not that bad. It's fun. And sometimes it's, it actually like happens really quickly. And sometimes it's, you know, like a couple of years ago, we started something called Come On Team, which is, something that we started with 2 other people, with Wynn Wiley and with Krista Welch, who came to India with us, cause we lead trips to India every so often. And they came with us and we started talking about kind of like wanting to use our abilities to give back and to do some good. And so we started Come On Team with them, which is basically like, anyone who wants to volunteer for 3 days at a time, we will create content for nonprofits. So we get together in like an Airbnb somewhere in the world, and we'll be there for like 3 days, 4 days. And we meet with the nonprofit, and then we photograph for them. And then we kind of like coach them on social media and build them a whole new website and make them like a video. And we do it all in 3 days. And that's something that, and that's something that we, started with them. And again, fairly recently, but it has also grown really quickly and has been such an amazing part of our lives. Like every time I sort of think about which thing do we want to get rid of or which thing should we retire so we can start something new. I think we can have it all, and I think we can do it all and continue to add more. It's just about finding balance. And also my biggest stretch is to trust other people to handle tasks for me so that I'm not doing everything myself. Because I can be like, I trust Jaden, and you know, if I give him a responsibility, I know he'll nail it. But in terms of other people, I haven't yet been someone who like hires on a team to go and handle things for me. And I think if I could do that, that would also be a very positive thing for us, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, especially if you have like 8 businesses. I mean, at some point, time is just not going to be enough. But yeah, that sounds like such a cool project, though.
Yeah, it's amazing. And like, Wynn was just overseas and doing one there. And Jaden and I have done one with a nonprofit in the Congo. So we've, you know, we do a lot of nonprofit work because we like to tell stories that are going to matter, that are going to let people know what's going on in the rest of the world and really connect humans all over the world with other humans that are doing different things. And ultimately, you know, our vision is for everyone to have access to education, all around the world. So a lot of times that means taking photos of people who currently don't have education and letting people who do have education become aware of that. I think awareness is a really big thing right now, that is just kind of growing. And with the internet, there's more access to letting people know what's going on and to really humanize it. So it's not just like statistics, but like, here are faces of people and here's what's going on in their lives.
Right.
So yeah.
Which obviously is, I mean, when you see like, this is a person who does not have clean water to drink. I mean, you're just like, but you hear it, like you said, in the numbers, you're like, it's hard to kind of wrap your mind around it. But, so how would you choose, for instance, then, a nonprofit in the Congo? I mean, how does that, what's the process to like go there?
Yeah. So a lot of the times we've had people reach out to us, and we have a website, comeonteam.com, and people can submit, you know, their nonprofits to us so that we can check them and sort of see, if that's something that's a good fit for us. We also, when we're going to a new city, cause like we've done Come On Nashville, Come On Seattle, Come On Los Angeles. And so every time we do a city, we reach out to locals that live in the area and sort of ask them, who should we work with? Are there any really great nonprofits that you, you know, love what they're doing, or any great nonprofits that are amazing but have really bad websites? Because obviously, you know, creative people, actually, I think all people are really responsive to excellent work. So if a photo is beautiful, if an Instagram feed is strong, if a video is really beautiful, if a website is well designed in terms of graphic design, I'm going to be way more interested in the story than if I go to the website and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like pixelated and it's horrible. And what were they thinking? Right. So we really want to elevate different nonprofits and what they're doing by giving them a way to tell their story, with a lot of excellence and intention creatively behind it. So we ask around for like, who's doing awesome stuff and yet doesn't have like the budget for a great website. And then sometimes that's how we get connected. So it's been amazing. I mean, the people that we get to work with are so incredible. And usually they're like so grateful that they trust us to like really create something amazing because they're just like stoked. So they're not micromanagey and weird. And also because we're doing it in 3 days, we don't have time to do waves of back and forth. And we literally ask for them to trust us to like nail it. And, so it's really fun. It's really amazing.
It sounds kind of like those addictive programs where, what are they called? Where like Ty comes in and redoes your house.
And oh yeah, yeah.
What's that called?
Makeover houses, like
like extreme home makeover, yeah, or whatever. Yeah. But like where you're just, it's like that feeling of, which always gets me every time. Like, just, it's so cool. People just give their time, you know what I mean? And their soul and their passion and like do something great for someone else. That's really awesome. Yeah. It's, my yeah. God, I liked you before. Now I'm in love. No, that's really cool because you're still so young to kind of be thinking about that whole like, well, now I want to give back, but that's already started. You guys are going to do big things.
Thank you. I hope
can
so.
Only go up from here. Okay. What kind of big things are you doing today? What is a day like this? It's a Monday. What are you guys going to do now? I think Jaden Gina's around, right? I saw his little shadow.
Gina was here. Gina, actually, speaking of shifting, Gina is over at our studio, at our event space, because we've had crazy storms in LA all weekend, like crazy. And the power's out at our space. So he's over there being the hero handling that right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but you know, it's always stuff like that where you just never really know what's going on, and getting some curveballs there. But we, let's see, we get up really early when we're home. We got back last night from Palm Springs. We were covering Modernism Week there. So we got back after, we were there for like 4 days. Uh-huh. So we got back last night, get up really early, which is, neither one of us are morning people, but we just do it because we know it gives us a lot of daylight hours and it's good for our brains.
And what's really early?
Like 6:30.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not that early, but it's early enough for us because we would normally sleep into like 9 or 9:30 if we could.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do morning pages, which is like, there's this book called The Artist's Way. Have you ever heard of that?
I have heard of that. I think I own it, actually. I do own it. I've just never read it.
Okay, well, it's awesome. And one of the things that she says is that as an artist, when you wake up in the morning, your creative brain and your logical brain are both awake, but usually a few hours into the day, your logical brain takes over and your creative brain kind of gets like pushed back. Because you don't, unless you intentionally use it. And so in the morning, I open up a notebook and I just freeform write 3 full pages. And it's just like the first thing I do in the morning, and just writing anything that comes out. It's not like beautiful writing. You would read it and be like, what is she talking about? But it's just a way of like giving my brain permission to be creative, because it's amazing. It's so amazing. And it's so true that, you know, by noon, if I'm just like logically moving through my day and being more focused on production and getting things done, then I haven't actually given my creativity any oxygen. And there's no space for it to actually like think up new ideas, or, you know, I'm just basically like putting it on the back burner. But when you put it on the back burner every day, all day, and then suddenly you're like, okay, now brain, get creative. It's really hard for your creative brain to just like wake itself up that quickly. So it's an exercise that I do. And that's something that's part of like the artist's way. And so I love it. That's a big thing.
That's a great tip. Cause you can't expect, it's like working out, or like giving your creativity a workout so that when you need it to run a marathon, it's kind of like in shape. Oh, that was, just pull that right out. So yep, dorky.
So true. Yeah. It's like training. It's like you're training the muscle.
Yeah.
So that, and I think honestly, you know, we do have a creative muse, and, you know, it's kind of, I would say for myself, it's like kind of pompous for me to think that I can ignore my creativity. Like I can ignore my muse for weeks and months at a time and then be like, okay, perform now. And it's sort of like, hang on, what? I've just been sitting back here in a dark corner and I'm not ready. I didn't know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, totally.
And so it's been a really good practice to wake up and do that. And
is it like, so you're not like doodling, you're not like drawing things. It's like words or like ideas or like, yeah. Ooh, here's a fun like idea for something I'd like to create. Like it could be anything.
Anything. Yeah. It's just 3 pages, but it's handwriting because that's also good for your creativity, apparently. So mm-hmm. they say, I don't know, to actually use your hand to draw. And so I just write 3 pages and sometimes I actually discover stuff while I'm writing. Like sometimes I'm like, oh, wow, that was a really cool idea. I didn't have that idea at the beginning of these pages. And other times I finish and I look back and I just like crack up because what I wrote makes no, like it doesn't actually make sense. It's just like sporadic thoughts one at a time, but it's not wrong. You know, like it's fine. Whatever comes out is great. And it's just a practice over time that I've really come to enjoy. So that's something I do every morning. Then I usually head into the kitchen, fill up. I drink 1 gallon of water a day, which is why I've got my little, you know.
Yeah, it's like a huge mason jar.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mug, jug.
So, yep, it is. So I fill up my 1 gallon of water in the morning and make coffee, and then I just get started with whatever the day has. So Monday is a big inbox day, which is my least favorite thing ever in the world. But Monday is for inboxes. And then technically today is a holiday because it's President's Day, but I'm working. Let's be honest.
It's President's Day. Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to call it That's Unfortunate Day. It's better than
nowadays. But, yes.
You know. Just quietly. So that, and then I'm actually working on my Way Up North talk today.
Nice. Nice. It's coming up.
So soon. And I have to get my notes into you guys so soon that I'm just like, I better get to work on it because we're leaving for field trip in a couple of days. Field trip starts on Thursday. And then we leave for Australia the week after that. So I got to get on it.
Get on it. Yeah. Well, yeah. Talk to Cole and Jakob. I will not be pounding on your door for that. Just this. Well,
you can if you want to.
What are you going to talk about? And don't tell me what you're going to say, but what's just the.
I'm talking about putting ideas into action as in like actually doing an idea. So I think creatives have so many ideas all the time. And it's really hard to know which ones to go ahead with, like which ones to actually try out. And if you are going to try one, it's hard to also know how to do it. And I know so many creative people that constantly come to me with ideas and they're so excited about this idea they have. But the number of times they actually move forward with them is like 4%. So, okay. And I don't know if that's true. I made up 4%, but you know, it's very small.
It's very like small.
Their ideas and they're like, I'm going to do this thing. And I'm like, great. And then the number of times it actually happens is very, very small. So I think actually getting clear on, a way to have an idea and to know whether or not to use it or to know how to do it. Is kind of a big thing. And if every creative knew how to do that, I think there would be a lot more ideas in action.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you're pretty much the pro at doing stuff. Well, obviously, I mean, I'm the queen of ideas that just does not. That's like, yeah, I meant to do that like 10 years ago. It's still moving it from to-do list to do-do list. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I could use, just send me your notes like right away. Just like literally send them and then I'll study them and then hopefully see you at Way Up North. But
you can let me practice my talk by giving it to you via Skype before I get there.
That's a great idea. Done.
Yeah. Done.
Committed.
Okay. Love it.
I was going to ask you about Two Girls and I already forgot what the continuation was because all I want to say is the other thing. Two Girls and
What, two girls, one kit?
One kit. What? One, yeah. Two girls. Okay.
You were going to say two girls, one cup, right?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yes! You're the first person who's ever mentioned that in the whole, and I thought it was funny when I named the series, and I really hoped that people would mention it, and I don't know if people are just trying to be polite and not mention it, but no one has ever said that before.
You are kidding me. I was like, that, like, I can't think of, like, that's the only thing that makes me think of, and I haven't even.
That makes me really happy, and I really hope that other people other people are thinking of it too, and they're just like, too, maybe they think that I don't know, and so they're like, maybe she doesn't know.
Well, anyway. Either way, I was like, well, first of all, no. As soon as you read that, you're like, she knows, and that's actually really clever. I love it. You don't even have to explain it. I just love that you used that, because it's like so twisted that one kit. That's crazy.
That makes me really happy. Happy. You just made my day. I'm so happy. Okay. Anyway, thank you. So what do you want to
watch that? No, I'm just kidding.
We can do one of those reaction videos. You know the reaction videos where people are watching it and then they're just like, oh my God.
Let's just both of us just watch it right now and Skype while we're watching.
That would be awesome. Literally.
That would be awesome. And then we'll videotape for The Way Up North, just like that.
Yes.
Takes.
Seriously.
No, anyways. I am going to let you go so you can work on your way up north. But it was so lovely to speak to you. Really fun, actually.
It was really fun. It was great. Thanks for catching my weird sense of humor.
thank you for indulging me. And yeah, have a great day. Say hi to Jaden.
I will.
And good luck with your beach writing. This was fun.
All right. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you.
Bye. Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.